So for a lot of us, we came to the parking lot for about 3 months last summer. But for some of us, this might be your first time to come to the parking lot. Can you raise your hand if this is the first time you've come to a parking lot worship service? Let's give a round of applause for our first-time parking lot people. It's different. It's very different in the parking lot, but there's kind of a cool feel to it. I actually enjoyed our parking lot services. Here's some of the big why of why we decided to do a one-time parking lot service, and we're hoping to actually make this a tradition. So in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, there's a really significant moment for Israel where all throughout the Old Testament, God has been promising them land. So at the very beginning, when God calls Abraham, one of the first promises is, I'm going to bring you to this land. And so he promises this to Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob, I'm going to give you this land. Well, as the Old Testament keeps going forward, you get to the story of Moses, and there's this big climactic scene where God pulls Israel out of Egypt through the Exodus, and the promise is still there, I'm going to bring you to this land. Well, Joshua 4 is the moment where it actually happens. So this is hundreds of years of history. There's been this big promise, and it finally comes. It's the day that the promise is being fulfilled. You're going to get the land. And so the entire nation of Israel comes to the Jordan River. The Jordan River stops flowing, and the people start walking across the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant leading the way. Now, I imagine this actually took quite a while for all this massive group of people to get across the Jordan River. Well, finally, when they do, their leader, Joshua, stands up, and he says something really interesting. He tells people to go back into the middle of the river and get stones and to take them out of the river and to make a pile of these rocks, which is a really odd thing to do when you've just received this hundreds-year-old promise. And it's even more odd because as Israel crosses the Jordan, I mean, it's not hard to imagine the kinds of things that they needed to do. We need to pitch our tents. We need to get some water. We need to start hunting and gathering. We're now going to build a new civilization in this new land. There's a lot of things to do. But Joshua says, no, I need you to stop. We're going to build this monument. Here's why he did it. Joshua chapter 4, scripture says this. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Then here's what I want you to tell them. Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. So Joshua knew something very, very important. He knew that you got to balance planning with remembering. So there's a lot of planning to do for Joshua at that moment. Again, they had the camp to put together. They had food to gather. They had water to go get. They had a lot of planning to do. But Joshua understood the power of spiritual memory. There is a time where you need to pause and remember. We as a culture, as a people, we like planning. We're good at planning. We plan weddings. We plan birthday parties. We plan church services. We have individual plans. We have family plans. Like, we like planning. Because when we plan, we have things to look forward to. Planning is exciting. But we also have to remember that there are times when we have to stop and we have to remember. Do I need to switch to a different mic? Maybe I'll stand over here. So that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to do some remembering. In fact, I was reading a book just yesterday talking about the power. Uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to do this. Well, I guess we could do the wave. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. Okay, so we're going to remember two things today. First thing we're going to remember is we're going to remember what God did this past year. So 2020 was hard. We lost a lot of things. We lost opportunity. We lost sports. We lost education. We lost people. It was a hard year. But it was also a year in which God did a lot of work. There's a really great passage in the book of Romans chapter 8. It's super simple. It just says, in all things God works And I really like that passage because Paul is not saying that God causes all things. What he is saying is that God works in all things. In fact, I got to thinking about, in the Bible, there are so many things that happen which are not good, but God works through them. In fact, I made this list. God worked through the eating of the forbidden fruit. God worked through the murder of Abel. God worked through the flood of the earth, the drunkenness of his best leader, Noah. God worked through the deception of Jacob. And when it came to the story of Joseph, God worked through the pit. God worked through prison. God worked through the insecurity of Moses. He worked through the sins of Samson, the adultery of David, the arrogance of Rehoboam. God even worked through the destruction of his own temple. In the New Testament, God worked through Herod's horrific massacre of babies. God worked through the poverty of Mary, the temper of Peter, the greed of Judas, the persecution by Saul, the death of his own son. And God worked through this pandemic. It wasn't good, but God can work through anything. In fact, it's funny, we were waving and laughing and clapping for the runners. We actually had someone that started attending our worship services because of the parking lot service last year. We did lots of projects for the community last year during the pandemic. All in all, we were able to pass out 2,000 care packages to various people. We were able to provide meals for nearly 500 medical workers and 1,000 educators. So God even did a lot of work through our church family. We reached more people online this past year than in any other point in the history of this church family. So this was not a great year, but God works. God works through anything, and so we pause to remember. Second thing we're going to remember today is we're going to remember who we are. So this year, it taught us a lot of things, but one thing it taught us spiritually is we're not the building. We are a church beyond the building. And that's a big reason we wanted to do this parking lot service again today. It's because we do get in the habit of, once we get locked into our routine, it's really easy to think that the church is just the worship service. But one thing that's really important to remember is the church, it's beyond the building. In fact, one of the reasons I enjoyed the parking lot service is that you can feel the wind. Sometimes there was rain. Sometimes the sun would beat down on us. But that's a good reminder that the church is not a destination. The church is a movement. In the book of Acts, there's a great church leader named Stephen, and he dies, and it sends the church into a frenzy. There's a great persecution that breaks out. And so we read this line in Acts chapter 8. Those who had been scattered by the persecution preached the word wherever they went. And so the kingdom actually grew because of disruption. And so it's really, really important to remember who we are. We're not the building. We're a movement. The church was established for the city, for neighborhoods, for the world. I'm going to share my favorite story about the church being the church outside the building. I shared this a few months ago, but I want to share it again today just so we can remember it. Our medical professionals, in many ways, were the best representatives of Jesus to the world. And one of our nurses had a really hard year. She was on a COVID floor, and I saw her one Sunday, and she had this blank look on her face because she was really tired, and I asked her how she was doing, and she said that in her last three shifts, 10 of her COVID patients had passed away. And so I asked her how she was getting through this, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Phil, what I do is I realize that I cannot keep these people from dying, but I can keep them from dying alone. This is my ministry." And I love that sentence. I can't keep these people from dying, but I can keep them from dying alone. And I love that because what she's saying is that she's in the middle of their pain, and she's right there when they're making these FaceTime phone calls to their loved ones at the very end, and she wishes she could stop it, but what she's doing is she's becoming the presence of Jesus to a hurting world. That's the church beyond the building. It's what we're called to do. In John 6, Jesus has a really interesting line where he says this. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." It's a really helpful way to think about the Lord's Supper, which we're about to take. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. So the act of communion invites us to accept the presence of Jesus into our own hearts so that when we go out from here, we can actually incarnate and bear witness to that same presence of Jesus to the outside world. Jesus comes in so that Jesus can go out. So if you bow with me in prayer before we take the bread. Father, today we pause to remember. We remember it was a hard year. We pause to remember your faithfulness through this difficult year. We pause to remember your Son on the cross. And Father, as we take his body into our body, help us to remember that we in turn become your body for the sake of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died, my richest gain.
Father, we continue our prayer of remembrance just as Joshua erected that monument so they could remember what you had done in their nation's history. Father, we also, we remember what you've done for us. We remember what you did through us and in us and for us this past year. Father, we remember what you did for us when you sent your Son to die on the cross. And we also remember, Father, the day he rose from the dead, which gives us so much hope. And so, Father, would you also empower us to live resurrection lives now. As our world more and more comes back to life, help us to be the kind of people which show the world what it really means to be people of hope, people of joy, people of love. Empower us with your Spirit to live anew. Give us more gratitude, more hope, more love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
See from his head, his head, his feet, sorrow and love flow me go down. Did such love and sorrow meet? Orphans come close, so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine,
So we come in the parking lot today for two main reasons. One, to remember what God did. And two, to remember who we are. We're the church, and we exist not just to worship in the building, but to be the movement of God outside the building. And so what we want to do next is I'm going to stop talking, and I want you to form just little groups with the people next to you. And I would actually encourage you, if you can, to make these smaller rather than bigger, 3 or 4 or 5 people's bed, better than 10 or 11 or 12. And I want you to take 3 or 4, 5, 6 minutes to answer one question. And the question is, when in your life did you see the church beyond the building this past year? So think about this past year. What is a memory you have in your own life of the church being the church outside the building? So think about a memory, circle up with a few people, and tell others what that memory is. Ready, set, go.
I'm glad he was today.
two more minutes. Just keep working around the circle. Two more minutes.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
So we hope to start a new tradition today where we have a Bible class take on a person to bless or a project to do that really coordinates with this theme of the church being the church outside the building. And so first year, we didn't get to give this class a lot of lead time, but about a month ago, we contacted the Family and Friends Bible class and said, hey, we're going to be in the parking lot here in a month, and the big point of the day is we want to emphasize that the church is not just the building. We're the movement of God in the world. Can you all think and pray about something that you could do to demonstrate that? And so I want to invite Steve Mayer up to the stage with me, and he's going to share a little story about what he and several other people in his Bible class were able to do.
Good morning. We have a student at OC who is in one of my classes. He's the same class as my son. But he's not a traditional student. He's just turned 30. He's a veteran. He served in the Army for 4 years. He's married. He has a little daughter of three. And that, with those challenges, he is going through engineering is not that easy, even for a single person with no responsibilities. And he was getting his way through, but this past semester, his wife was pregnant again, and the baby had some problems, and he had to withdraw for this semester. He plans to be back next semester, but he's on the VA, and it turns out he has to pay that back, and there they were working, she's working like two jobs, and he was working two or three jobs, trying to make ends meet, and we've been praying for them. What's a little more difficult is that a year and a half, a little over a year ago, we were praying for him because his father had contracted COVID. He recovered a little bit. He recovered, looked like he recovered, and it came back, relapsed, and within 2 weeks, he was gone. So he passed away about a year ago. And so this family has had a lot of struggles in the past year, hit by COVID and just their own life circumstances. And so we've been praying for them as a class, and when this project was brought up, I nominated this family for doing something, and the class adopted them and said, let's do that. So they needed most was some financial assistance, and then also just some support getting through possibly the baby having some problems. So the baby has a kidney problem that is, he told me Thursday that it is getting better. She's due in August, but we were able to help them financially. Went over there Thursday. We took them a dinner, the traditional Church of Christ, bring a dinner in a box and, you know, cook it up and drop it off and let them eat, kind of like people did for us with my wife's surgery. And so we were able to do take them dinner and help them financially. We have some more that we have that we need to get to them. And we have some follow-up that we will do, and we'd love to connect them. It's an excellent outreach opportunity because they feel very blessed. They're very appreciative. And and so it's just something we were able to do. And it was such a blessing to them, as it turned out. That's what he said. And then it's been a blessing to us. That's one thing that I noticed that happens, is that we get blessed about as much as we, if not more than blessing those that we help. And so this has become a little bit of a class project for us to help this family get through some of their issues, and also help connect them with some younger couples that can help them and support them. And we will just continue to pray for them and help them a little bit as we go along and help them with whatever issues that they have with the baby. And they were able to get a couple of their priorities off of Amazon. And so this was just something that we feel very blessed to be able to do, and our class is able to pull together that. I had a verse that came up this morning from the verse of the day that I want to share, and then I want to do a little prayer for David and Mercy are their name. Sometimes the verse of the day is perfect. Out of 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And I thought, wow, that's a great verse for us being able to be so blessed that we could share and bless others. Let's pray. Holy Father, we're so thankful that we can look outside of ourselves, that we realize that you have called us to be a church, not to gather in a building and worship. We do that as well, but we're to reach out to the world, to share the good news with them, to bless them, to share our blessings with them, so that we can show your glory and show your love that you have for all of us. And Father, we pray that we will continue to look outside of ourselves, that we look beyond our building, beyond our membership, and that we continue to reach out in missions, not only overseas, but those that are right here in front of us, the people that have needs, the people that are affected by things like COVID, things like financial setbacks, things like family setbacks, and help us, Father, to have our eyes open to those opportunities and for us to be able to have the means and have your blessing to bless them, and just continue to help us, Father. think outside the building, think outside the box, and everything within your box, Father, of blessing the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steve. We were actually hoping to have David and his family here today to present this gift to, but they couldn't make it. But let me just reinforce that the thing I love about Steve and that story in his class is that they didn't go across the world to serve. It was right in his life. It was a student he had in class whose father had passed away, whose pregnant wife was going to have, you know, surgery with this baby, and they were going through financial difficulties. But it was just right there, right in the middle of his life, right in the middle of his day. That's where your opportunities to serve the Lord are going to be. You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to go across the world. You have opportunities to be the church in your life right now. So thank you, Steve, and your Bible class for that story and the ongoing efforts that will be made for that family. So next thing we want to get to do today, and we're getting towards the end here, is today's Promotion Sunday. And one thing that if you're new to Memorial Road, we are, yes, we do our worship services, great, but we have a great Bible class system. It's one of the best ways to get connected. We have amazing children's Bible classes, and we like to really support people when they go through transitions. So our fifth graders are now transitioning into the youth group, into the sixth grade. Today's the official day. And so what we'd like to do is we'd like to have a special prayer of blessing for these incoming sixth graders into the youth group. And so right now I'd like to invite all sixth grade students, new sixth grade students, up to the front right here. Families, come along with them. Youth staff, come up. And then Jason Garner is going to lead a prayer for this group. So go ahead and come on up, everybody. Yeah, if the families could come to me, because I like to be the center of attention, and so just, you know, make sure to circle around me. No, we want to make sure the people at home can see the group, so everybody cluster in this area. And then I have a microphone for Jason Garner. Okay.
Together. Father, thank you so much for a beautiful morning to worship you. Father, we're thankful for the young people and their families that stand here before us and before you today. Father, we acknowledge how much you've already done in their lives and the blessing that their parents and others who sit before them here have done for them. We ask now, Father, that you, as they enter this new transition, this new phase in their lives, that you would provide the knowledge, the people, the opportunities, the experiences that would teach them endurance, character, and most of all, a hope in your Son. Father, I ask that you would bless each family here this morning. Father, we're thankful for all of our young people that you've provided to this congregation. Father, may we always see their walk with you and their faith formation as one of our most important missions. Father, I also ask right now that you would, thinking about our youth, that you would watch over our juniors and seniors as they travel to San Antonio to be your hands and feet, to be salt and light for this world. Father, again, I thank you for each child here this morning. And I pray your richest blessings on all of them. In Jesus' name, amen.